Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roosh at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. High school football season in its opening week, volleyball underway, and Jim, we have lots to talk about, a lot of topics coming across our respective desks this week. Lots to talk about, including a 70-game winning streak up in Wisconsin, which came to an end last week in week one of the 2018 season.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, when you talk about a football season, basically nine games plus playoffs. So that streak dates all the way back to 2012. You haven't lost a game since then until, Wisconsin started a week earlier than Illinois. And I wanted to research a little bit about, you know, that was the longest current streak. So now the longest current streak is 49 to a team, I think, Lamar, Missouri. Then I wanted to look at some Illinois numbers. The current longest streak, 28 games, Prairie Ridge up in the Chicago suburbs. And then I didn't realize the longest ever streak in Illinois, 64 straight wins to the Saukies of Pittsfield High School from 1966 to 1973. And too bad for them, that was just basically prior to the start of the IHSA playoffs, which began in 1974. But the longest winning streak ever in the nation, out in California, De La Salle High School, 151 straight victories over a 12-year period from 1992 to 2004. My goodness, what a streak. But we were talking off the air, and this is a great tidbit. You said in the midst of that winning streak that De La Salle had, that set the stage for the Sports Illustrated column for Savannah High School, where you're at. And the reporter or columnist wanted to look at the other end of the spectrum, right? And that brought him to Savannah.
That's right. And that was the world-famous or world-renowned Rick Riley. He came to Savannah because he was looking at that De La Salle streak. I think they were just about ready to set the national mark at that point in time. And he wanted to look at the other end. And at that point, Savannah had that streak going, which ended up with 63 straight losses. So he came out here, went to a game, and did a really cool column on the team, very positive and uplifting, and that was kind of a lot of those players' brush with greatness. They didn't get to go to the playoffs or anything like that, but they got to hang out at Manny's with Rick Riley for a pizza party.
All right, that's awesome. I know the National Federation of High School Association, I saw this morning, they just released information on participation numbers. Football participation numbers are down. It's still the top sport in terms of participation, in terms of overall numbers. However, the numbers are declining each year and declining again this year. But they said the six-man football and the eight-man football in terms of the number of teams are growing, and you can give us another example of that up in your area, right?
Yeah, that's right. We talked about Polo. They have already made the commitment for next year, and it's all but official. There are just a couple of things that have to be finished up, but River Ridge will be going to eight-man football in 2019. My sources say it was somewhat contingent on Polo. The two of them will square off in a home-and-home, because the one worry about eight-man football, at least right now, is the geographic challenges and the trips, because I think there'll be some Wisconsin teams in the southern portion that will be playing, so there'll be some long road trips, and I think school boards around here are looking at that, saying, hey, let's maybe see if we can't minimize some of that travel, albeit mostly on Friday nights, but even so, they're looking at that. So it sounds like it's 99% official that River Ridge will be going to eight-man football in 2019.
All right, so you got to get that on your broadcast schedule when River Ridge plays Polo, because I want to hear about how the eight-man game works, that's for sure. But that's another domino, I think, and we've heard about some of those. The smaller side of the Northwest Upstate Illini really probably heading in that direction. So we talk about participation numbers, Brian. There was a story down in central Illinois involving Litchfield, which is kind of between St. Louis and Springfield, and they had to make a decision this week whether or not to play a varsity high school football game, and they're going to play with 15 kids, including five freshmen. That's a varsity game. I don't know. You know, we've talked about this with some of the coaches in our area. If kids are playing by attrition, and I'm talking about those freshmen or those sophomores that may not be ready for varsity football, you know, I've had some coaches tell me you're probably going to maybe lose them down the road because they're not going to want to get there. Let's be face it. They don't want to get their butts kicked at a freshman level when they're playing against a senior and a junior if they're not ready for it. And more than likely, they're probably not going to continue to play. I don't know. I know it's a tough decision for those schools, but I think that hurts the game more than it helps it when you're forced to play those kids by attrition.
Yeah, I completely agree. And when you have a roster of 15, as you mentioned, there are just so many things that can go wrong in a game that you know, would really, you know, test your depth. And you know, playing players both ways and going constantly, that probably increases the likelihood of injuries, or at least, you know, fatigue, which sometimes can lead to injuries. And then the other thing I would worry about is this point in time in the year. You know, if you play on a Friday night now, tonight, you know, or this week, it wouldn't be necessarily that bad. But there might be a week where it's 95 degrees with high humidity, and you've got kids that are pretty much playing every snap. I just don't know how humane that is. And as you said, if you continually get beat down, you might just say, hey, this isn't worth it. This is an uphill battle that we didn't sign up for.
Yeah, and I think, too, you're looking at Litchfield, again, this school down in central Illinois. They're a school at 300, I think upper 390s, lower 400s, and they're in a conference, you know, playing some of those upper-end 2A and 3A schools, you know, and you worry about those teams that have those rosters, those junior and senior-laden rosters going up against those freshmen who are only playing because basically the numbers are dictating that and they're not ready for varsity football. I think that has the potential of doing more harm than good. All right, I'll end it today on this. We always talk about these financial times, Brian, the tough school district and the decisions they have to make, but I like this thing that the National Federation of High School Associations tweeted out earlier this week. At a cost of only 1 to 3% of an overall school's budget, high school activity programs are one of today's best bargains. It is in these vital programs where young people learn lifelong lessons like sportsmanship that complement the academic lessons taught in the classroom. Can I get an amen to that? Because we always hear about, you know, when these budget cuts are being made, people will say it's too much money being spent on athletics and extracurricular activities. Not true. Only 1 to 3% of the budget. Can I get an amen to that?
You can get a big amen to that, Jim. I completely agree. And last week when we were talking to our area coaches, and I'm sure the sentiment is the same with your area coaches, they talked about high school football and how special opening night is, but they also talked about the importance in small town Illinois of that event that draws the entire community together. And if you're talking 1 to 3% of the budget and you're bringing people together, as you said, lifelong lessons are learned, it's just something that you say, wow, you know, as much as we have the detractors who say it's dangerous and too much money is spent, I still think football and the other sports as well, say volleyball and, you know, cross country and all the fall activities. I mean, if you can bring your community together in these times, if you can learn lessons, if you can bond with friends and hold those friendships for a lifetime, I think 1 to 3% of the overall budget really isn't too high of a price to pay.
I'll say amen again to that. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.